Well, it's on afternoons like this. You're sitting up, you're standing up here, you got two elders, and I'm tempted just to read short scripture and sit down. And you guys might be tempted to pray for that too. So I'm just going to open in here. Perfect. Psalms 108 is a prayer for God's assistance. And let's start there in the Psalms. So this morning I woke up and it was early. It was before 6. And I did something I haven't done in a while. I just got in my car and I put the windows down. I just went for one of those early morning drives. And it was just beautiful this morning. It was just kind of misty, and we knew it was going to be a hot day, right? I mean, that's come true, but it's just a beautiful morning. I stopped to get a coffee even early in the morning. Probably didn't need it, but the world just kind of came alive to me this morning. I saw things I didn't see. I saw some animals, and I saw some guys down by the river catching something, and I saw the world in just a whole new light this Sunday morning, and I just felt free driving around, and it was just wonderful. So if I'm a little tired, I'm getting just a little headache. I think it's because I woke up too early this morning. And I don't know if I can replicate that morning drive. But that's kind of like when we come to the Word and we come in here, we can kind of come in here and, you know, we can just forget about all the stuff that's happening. And we just kind of just lift it up to Him this afternoon. And I opened to a chapter this morning, and we're going to read that one also, so it's kind of like I opened to it today. Psalms 108, let's just read it, the psalm here. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even in my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. Oh. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. Thou that beloved, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with by thy right hand, and answer me. God hath spoken in his holiness, I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem, and I will mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver, Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, who has cast us off? And wilt not thou, O God, go forth with our hosts? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the man of help. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. You know, and sometimes the Word just speaks to you, and sometimes it's just one verse, and sometimes it's different. But I just told you I woke up early, and then it says here, I myself will awake early to singing and joy. And sometimes the Word just kind of speaks to us that way. And I'm reading that one verse just to me stands out this morning, because I just had this great morning of just driving around, and I just, you know, I don't do that enough. What are the things that we don't do enough in the Lord that we're being called to do today? And I think this fits well with the reading we're going to do in the second part, because it's really talking about God being exalted and delivering us. And it's also talking about kind of his friends in the community and the different tribes coming together, and God going out before them. And it's wonderful the way God has gone out before us. So let's just sing a song. I thought we would sing a song of prayer in 161. As always, Morgan, you can override my selections, or Evan. But how about 161? What a friend.
Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear.
Let's return thanks. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this afternoon, we come on bended knee. We come with bowed heads and we come with open hearts, Lord, that you may fill us with your word, with the wonder of the things that you're doing around us, Lord, and you may inspire us with your Holy Spirit to be great men and women in your name and in your ways and in the things that you do. Lord, we know that each and every one of us will fail for you, and we apologize for that, and we come to you, to your mercy. And we know, Lord, that what makes us Christians is what we do after we fail. Lord, help us that as we fail, we continually turn to you in each and everything, great and small, and we look to you to save us, to love us as you always have. We're so thankful, Lord, that you love us with your death upon the cross. We're so thankful that you've sent your shed blood and your body, as we experienced last night, to have the washing and regeneration of ourselves. We thank you, Lord, that you sit at the right hand of the Father and that you are interceding for us and that you are pleading for us. We thank you, Lord, for your love, which we don't deserve, the love that is so great and so immense, Lord. And we just pray that we could take that love and we could love others as you love us. We just thank you, Lord, for this church. We ask for a blessing on this church. We ask for a blessing on all those that are here visiting, and that you take that blessing back to their churches. And we just, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of marriage. We had a wonderful celebration today of an announcement, Lord. We just pray a blessing upon both of them, Lord, that you might lead and guide them and that they might seek to put you first as they begin down that path of marriage. We also so thankful for Bill Jr., Lord, that even though he had some struggles, Lord, that you were there with him and that he appears to be healing. We pray that you send your spirit to be with him, to strengthen him, to encourage him, and to be with Brandy and Gibson and Bill and Gail. We just thank you, Lord, for this Sunday. We thank you for heat and the warmth of summer. We thank you for holidays. We thank you for this country and for the leaders that are in it, Lord. We pray that you bless them with wisdom and that you would prick their conscience, even as we heard in Ezra this morning, to look to you, Lord, to make the rules and to make the path of our nation, Lord, that we could remain free and open to you and that we could use our freedom for your good. We just pray that you be with us this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's turn to John 14. Actually, before we do that, let's read in chapter 13 just a little bit here. Let's read 13, chapter 21. And when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one to another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it be of whom that he spake. Then he, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." So it'd be like bread or something they dip in the food. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto them. And so they go through this, but I think it's interesting that we just talk about Judas for just a minute here. Because Judas is in the room and they're in the Last Supper, kind of what we were talking about last night in communion. And then Judas is kind of moved out, right? And he's moved out. And you have the disciples here. And this picture to me is really beautiful, right? He went to the disciples and he said, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." So he told them, drop everything that you're doing. Don't be a lawyer. Don't be a fisher. Don't be a tax collector, but whatever it is that you're going to do. And he convinced these apostles to follow him, to drop everything. And then as they're following him, he's saying, but I'm going to go away. And if you were an apostle, you were one of the 12, you'd be a little troubled. You're like, well, wait a second. I mean, I gave up everything. I mean, Lord, I've been following you. You're amazing. It's amazing to follow with Jesus. And so they were a little troubled here. And then one of them is cast out. And I think it's interesting. Just I've been thinking about this story a lot over the last few months. Is how is it that Judas could be with Jesus over this extended period of time and still not completely believe? Just and we see here Satan enters into him, but I tend to think of that too as for us. I mean, maybe there's some amongst us, maybe me. I mean, maybe there's some amongst us that we're just coasting through. We're just and we're putting things off, like, you know, I'm going to repent of that sin in a couple years, or I'm just going to do what I'm going to do, and you know, I'm with other believers. I'm okay. I'm just coasting through life, but I'm not dealing with the things that I have to. And now all of a sudden Jesus has dealt with it. And now they're down to, is it 11 or 12? Still 13. Anyway, they're down one. And the Lord's kind of says, he just kind of puts his arms around and he says, okay, move up to the front row. Everybody, let's get together. I'm going to tell you where I'm going. I'm going to tell you. Because you're dissettled, you're disheveled. One of your own is going to deceive you. And he just kind of pulls all the apostles together. And here's what he says in verse 14. Let's read it. Because these are really good verses. So let's just huddle in. And let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Pretty awesome verses, right? Pretty awesome verses where it just comes out and says, I'm actually preparing a place for you in heaven. And I was thinking about it this week because I was thinking about the 4th of July. Is that okay to say? Because I'm taking Thursday and Friday off. Well, kind of. I'm still going to work, but Jody doesn't know that. I mean, she'll be still sleeping when I'm... No, I mean... Anyway, you get what I'm saying. I'm really taking Thursday and Friday mostly off. But that's 1, 2, 3, 4... That's like 5 days. And most of the country's taking the time off too, right? Except for those of you who are working. But are you really... Anyway, okay, I digress. But I was thinking about vacation. And I tend to do this thing where I love vacation. I just love to see my family, spend time with them. And sometimes I like build it way up to be this great thing. And then Jody can say one thing and then I'm back down here, right? And so sometimes our expectations are great. And so I really like that the Lord here, he kind of lays out heaven, but he didn't paint the whole picture for me. Because if he'd have painted the whole thing, then I'd have expectations. But sometimes I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about vacation. Or I'm thinking about the glory of knowing the Lord. Or we're thinking about, I mean, wouldn't it be awesome to meet some of the saints up in heaven? And Jesus comes out and he just says it right here. He just says, look, I'm leaving you, but I'm coming back for you. And I'm going to take you to heaven. And it's as plain as that. And not only that, the word, when I was looking it up this morning, mansions doesn't necessarily mean like the Ritz-Carlton. It just means more of like a home. And there were some quotes I found this morning. I guess a time ago, there was the London paper had a contest to see if somebody could have the best description of what home means. Because that's kind of what they're saying here. Jesus is saying, I'm going to take you home. And here was the winning reply was, the place where you are treated the best and complain the most. That's home. Robert Frost, the author, said, "The place that when you arrive, they have to take you in, no matter what you've done." That's home. So if we think about those two verses and we think about it, Jesus is saying, "I'm giving you a home in heaven." Okay, so what was I worried about at the beginning of this? Let not your heart be troubled. So we're here in this chapter, and the Lord is saying, okay, you 11 disciples, I've huddled you all together. One of you's gone. I'm leaving. The world's coming after us. And he says, open the door of your heart. He's saying, open your heart. Let me in. And let me comfort you. And so that's the first comfort that he's given here, is that I've got a place in heaven for you. And you don't have to be perfect. Because, well, let's go on. Okay, so then the disciples are like, okay, well, wait a second. We got some questions, right? You guys would have questions. You'd be there, right? Hey, we've heard about this eternity thing. We've heard about resurrection. But now you're telling us you're going to take us up to heaven with you? Okay, so Thomas says, verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Question mark, big question mark. And so Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, so again, Philip has another question on top of the question, right? Well, just show us the Father, then, says Philip. Like we read about it in the Old Testament, right? Like Moses saw just a little bit, because he says, I'm equivalent to the Father, and they're like, well, who's the Father? You know, show us the Father. I mean, we don't just want to see the Son, we want to see the Father. And he says, have I been so long time with you that you have not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me and hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, shew us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And so he's answering that second question, because they wanted to know, like, well, who's the Father? And so here he's just gone through two discourses, and he's kind of, you know, Jesus is kind of establishing what we believe is the Trinity here, right? Because he's equating himself somewhat to God, although he's still not God, he's the Son. And which is a miracle in itself, which is so interesting to discuss and talk about the Trinity. And so he's kind of making it self-evident. And what I was thinking about this morning is that Jesus is the perfect example here. He's the only one who could have made this statement, because here's the problem I run into. I can sit up here and I can tell you all this stuff, and then you can see me out in the city, and you can be like, well, wait a second, the talk isn't equaling the actions, right? Because we're not perfect, and we make mistakes, right? And so you can look, you know, and so each one of us has this struggle between the reality of what we say and what we know about Christ and what we do. And so in Jesus, the apostles had been with him, and they saw the perfect synchronization of the word that he spoke and the things that he did. And it was enough for them, because they didn't ask this question again. They were satisfied in the answer to this question. So that's the second thing that he gave us, is that he said that you know the Father, and you know me. And you know that what I've done is true and honest, and it suffices. And I think it's interesting here that he says, just believe in the works, even, right? Just if you can't enough get over the fact that I'm God, just look at the works that I've done, and you'll be able to see that. Okay, let's keep reading in verse 12, and it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Think about the greater works, like 3,000 people receiving the Holy Ghost in one day. Think about that. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now this verse can be a great verse. It can also be a stumbling block. How many of us have prayed for things that don't happen? Okay, it's good to see you all raise your hands. Thank you. A lot of people have read this verse and we think about it, and there may be something that you want more than you want Christ, and you might pray for that. But if we just read two verses, we'd be in trouble. But the good thing is there's more verses, so let's just keep reading. "If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." So the key is to read this, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." So if we're keeping his commandments, it really limits the focus of what we can pray about to following him and to following his commandments. And so it says here that we have to have faith. "He that believeth on me and the works that I should do, then greater works." So the first foundation in our prayer life is faith. The second one is that we're supposed to ask for it in Christ's name. So that's something when you think about it, right? A lot of us pray, and then at the end of your prayer, you say, I ask in Jesus' name, because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. And so Jesus is our intercessor. He's the one that's lived for 30 years as a carpenter. And so he's the best one for us to go to petition. And he's the one that died for our sins. So he's petitioning. So that's why we pray in his name. And then the last one is that we have to pray in obedience to what he has planned for us in order for us to have. So that's the third thing, is that he gave us prayer. The Lord gave us prayer. So let's keep reading in verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." So here's the fourth thing that the Lord's giving to us. He's telling us, the 11 disciples, he's saying, "I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit." And sometimes I think about this myself as like an early warning system. Do you guys ever think of that? You know, like I tend to think of the Holy Spirit just like that, like an early warning system. Like we have a conscience. And some of us have gotten very good at ignoring our conscience. But the Lord, we were created in his image, and we were created partially like him. And so we have a bit of him in us. And so we have this conscience that kind of tells us right from wrong. And if we listen to the early warning system, it can really help us. And it can kind of lead the Holy Spirit into our lives. And so that's the other thing that the Lord's saying, "Hey, I'm leaving you guys, but I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit behind. Let not your heart be troubled. I've given you the Holy Spirit." Okay, and then the next thing is, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, he said, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" And Jesus answered and he said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he hear is not mine, but the Father's sent, which sent me. You know, I've got this friend that I see once a month, and he's a preacher. I mean, literally, I can spend a half an hour with him, and in 30 minutes, I sit with him, he cuts my hair, and I always leave refreshed. But the one thing I love about my barber, he's just, I mean, he lives out these verses of kind of being Christ to those that are around him. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of personal wealth as a barber, but he helps people all throughout the community. Some guy's having trouble, you know, his marriage is going south. He'll meet with that guy and he'll minister unto him. Somebody needs a group to come and play the band or for their conference or and speak about Jesus, he'll go do it. He meets someone who's out of work and doesn't have any money, and he'll go and he'll just give him a bunch of money. And you know, he was telling me this story. I just got my hair cut a couple days ago, and he was just telling me this story. He said, well, I gave this guy $400, and he came back to me 4 weeks later, and he gave me the money back. He said, thanks for the loan. And he said, well, wait a second. That wasn't a loan. You needed $400, so I gave you $400. You're not here to give me the money back. I want to make it real clear. I gave you the money. It's your money. And now I need you, next time that you run into somebody, to give money to them. And I think that's the way that the Spirit, that's the way the Lord works in the world around us, is that we never know from whence the next blessing or the next thing is going to come. And that's how we have community in Christ. And we're being called to give. And that would be commensurate with this verse of saying that, you know, the Father is in the Son and the Son is in us. And I was touched last night just listening to Brother Wayne talking, Elder Wayne. And, you know, talking about the 4% last night. I mean, you guys remember the 4%? If you weren't here, he was talking about 4 out of every 100 people were born in the U.S. And we are the wealthiest nation in the world. And we are blessed beyond all comparison. And yet, even though we're blessed, it doesn't mean that we have joy. And this is one way that we can have joy, just thinking about my barber and the way that he humbles me every time I meet him. Okay, so the other thing we have, so we have the Father's love and that love that was given unto us. And so that was the fifth thing that we were talking about, is that he gave the Father's love to us, and it's a love that's with us. And then the last thing is the gift of peace, and that's these last verses. Let's read this. And these things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all these things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And that's the same verse we had in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard now, I said unto you, I go away and I come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So that's it. That's the speech to the 11, that they're worried about what's happening next. And how many of us are worried about what's going to happen next? I'm worried about what's happening next. I'm worried about what's happening in my family. I'm worried about what's happening in my city, my church. I was reading an article this last week, and I think it was meant just to confirm all this, but they did a study, I think it was in the United Kingdom, and it said that we're conditioned to worry. We're conditioned because we care about things. If you care about nothing, you won't worry about anything. But we're conditioned to care about certain things. We're conditioned to try and make the world a better place. We're conditioned to do good. And anytime that you lay yourself out there and you're going to do good, well, the opposite can then happen and disrupt you. Bad can happen. And so we're conditioned to worry about things. We're conditioned to care about the outcome. We're conditioned to try and make the world a better place. And with the Lord behind us, we can do it. We can do it. And what the promise he gave to us, we're just going to review very briefly, and somebody can fix what I've messed up here. But the first thing he did is he gave us a home. He said, look, I've got a home for you in heaven. And I prepared it for you. And he even assured them twice that, you know, if it were not so, I would not tell you. I've got a home for you. And I've got a father for you to know. You're going to know the father. You already know the father. You've known him by hanging out with me. You know the father. And I've given you prayer so that you can talk to me and you can know me even better. I've given you prayer. And if prayer's not enough, I've given you the Holy Spirit to be with you. I've given you an early warning system to keep you out of trouble. And if that's not enough, I'm interceding at the side of the Father, and I'm giving you the love of the Father. And last but not least, I'm giving you the gift of peace and joy. And you know, I wonder, is that enough for us, right? Is that enough for us to be happy with the peace and the joy? And sometimes too, we read this and we get discouraged. I was talking to another friend of mine, and I don't want to give out what he's working on, but he's got his whole life is built working on one thing. And I saw him the other day at the pool, and I got to talk with him. And they've come up with something very significant. He's working on a cure to a disease, and he's learned one thing. After 20, 30 years, they found one thing. He found one thing, that if you remove this one thing, the disease will die. He found that out. And so he was very excited about that. He was telling me about that. But then after that, he told me, he's like, but man, we don't know very much about the body. We don't know very much about this world. We don't know hardly anything. He's like, I maybe know a fraction of 1% of what's going on, but I did figure out this one thing. And he says, I'm going to keep going because it's an immense world, this world of the body. And it's just a miracle, this world of the body. And I think about that, and I want to tell him about Jesus, and we're getting closer to that. But there's this immense world that the Lord's created, and we know just this little bit. But the little bit that he gave us today is enough for us to have a joy about the future. These six things that he told us is enough. If that's one half of 1%, I'm in. I'm in. I'm totally in. I'm ready to go. And it's just so amazing. You know, we need to take more moments like I took this morning to just drive around and just see the world. Just see the world that's around us. Pay attention to the needs that are out there. Care about the people that we have. And think a little less about ourselves each day. And Sunday's the best day of the week to do that. Nobody here has anything they have to go home and do today. Take the day off. Listen to the Lord, and he will do great things for us.
Yeah, I tried to convince Brother Ken he should finish up again this afternoon, but you know how that goes. And I'm not here to fix anything that's messed up because nothing's messed up. What we heard was the word of truth. I'm not going to try to summarize it all. But I love that chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. I need that lesson. I've been working on that for 70 years. I'll work a few more if I have life, I suppose. I just want to give you one example, and I may have talked about this before here. Brother Ken and I talked about it recently. For several years, I've been working on this little thing. What do we fear? Well, first of all, what do we fear? I'll get to the other thing in a little bit. What do we fear? We fear a lot of different things. I'm one who wants to be in charge. I'm one who wants to know that I have enough money in the bank to live for a while, or that I'm just that way. And then you know what it is? It's lack of trust. That's why he wrote this, I think. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. In my Father's house were many mansions. That's all we really want, right? But I worry about some things sometimes that really I shouldn't. I have fear. And this one little thing is money. And I have to share with you again, if I haven't already, that this thing about money. I won't have enough money. And my dear wife had more trust. So she didn't worry about money. And she thought we were doing just fine. And so I don't know what I said one day. And she said to me, well, Wayne, how much money would be enough for you? When would you be at peace? When would you quit worrying? It woke me up a little bit. What it really meant was it meant a whole lot more than it should to me. Maybe not quite as much as it should for her. I don't know. But we worry about things, and we get, and there are many things. And this is talking about many things. But one of the things what I wanted to say, and I'm mumbling around here a little bit, but was that I have been working for some time on this concept of how do you replace fear, which Jesus is talking about here, with faith. How do you replace fear with faith? And it's simple. It really is. It's just hard to implement sometimes. The answer is here. In my, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Trust me. Trust me. And as a result of that, over and over again for many years, I shared this with the Indiana elders a few years ago, and that's what Brother Ken was remembering. I can't remember the number. I think it's 178 or 9, maybe. But it's 179. It's a song that echoed through my head and still does, and this song is Anywhere with Jesus. That's where our worry, that should teach me and should teach you to replace fear with faith, trust in God. And the Holy Spirit, let me put it this way. I don't use the Holy Spirit to the extent that I could or should. I really believe that. The Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit has got, Jesus said, I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm leaving you part of God. That's part of the Trinity. It's part of God. Jesus was walking with his disciples, and he's telling them, don't let your heart be troubled. He's not here to, he is here with us in a sense, right? Through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, he's here. And he's saying, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in me. But that song says, remember this with these words, anywhere with Jesus, what? I can safely go. Anywhere. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. And that might be to a new location. That might be to a new job. That might be to deal with some illness. That might be whatever. If we've got Jesus, anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, the joy is gone. Dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, listen to this, I am not afraid. I am not afraid. Anywhere. Anywhere fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. I'm still working on that. Probably will be till life is done. But this chapter and this song and this concept is what Jesus taught, what God wants. To make our life joyful, to help us to live the more excellent way. And I'm a slow learner, but I'm slowly learning. And I hope that each of you are as well. May God bless his word. And brother should select a closing hymn.
Oh, dear Father, what a wonderful and glorious day that you have blessed us with. Through many events and through many turmoils, and you're always there with us. When we struggle, even when we're elated, we know that you're always with us, Father. And we have so much to be thankful for. What an opportunity, as I was talking with Emma today, to really get a sense of those that are truly in need, and how blessed our entire country truly is. And we know it's just through your efforts. None of it is of us, Father. So, Father, we just want to thank you for this 4th of July weekend that is coming up, and that we celebrate the freedoms that many have died that might provide us with the freedom that it is part of America today. May you be with those fallen soldiers and families. Father, what a blessing. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for our elders, for the ministers that so lovingly and just enduringly just give of themselves. We are truly blessed. So be with us on this week. Be with us. Those that are traveling, be with them. May you grant them traveling mercies, understanding that all things come through Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.